So I just decided to make half of a normal size this time. One package of actual, it's a puff pastry. You don't need to use phyllo dough for this. It's just half a package of puff pastry. So one sheet, let it thaw. One package of chopped spinach frozen, let it thaw. Or you can put it in the microwave and thaw it in there if you use a microwave. I used one container of crumbled feta cheese, two eggs, and one small container of ricotta cheese, and a little salt, a little pepper, a few red pepper flakes, and that's pretty much it. You thaw out your sheets of puff pastry, or your one sheet. I actually thawed both of them out because I'll tell you what I did with the other one later. But thawed one sheet, and I just cut it in half, and I used a small baking dish, about half the size of a 9x13. Put one layer on the bottom. You take your spinach, your ricotta, your cheese, your feta, everything else, and just mix it all together. And pour that into your baking dish on top of your puff pastry. And then you add your second layer of puff pastry over the top, spread with just a little bit of olive oil. I baked it at 350 for about 45 minutes, and it turned out golden brown and stayed together well. Two eggs were perfect for it, and if you want to make a larger one, you just double that recipe, and you would use the whole package of puff pastry. And that was just enough. There was some leftover for somebody to have for lunch today. And so from now on, I'm going to make just a half of spanakopita. Because then I know it's gone, it's out of the way, and we're not looking at it in the refrigerator. Because, you know, Evelyn doesn't really care for the inside too much. So very, very good. I suggest you make it and have a salad on the side. Maybe if you want a little bread, you can do that too. Maybe even some broccoli. It's delicious. It's garlicky. I add garlic, too. I forgot to tell you that. And usually I'll add some fresh garlic, but last night I just put in some powdered garlic, and it worked just great. So there's the spanakopita recipe. Very, very easy. Very easy. I also made some yellow split pea and ham hock soup. Someone gave me ham hock that they've had for a little while in their freezer. I said, sure, I'll take the bones. I love making soup with bones. I have a ton of yellow split peas in the house that I need to use up. I don't know. I think I bought, I don't know, it was several pounds a while ago of yellow split peas bulk, and they were so inexpensive. They're so delicious. I thought I'm going to use that with the ham hock soup. So I wanted to make some broth first with the ham hock, so I just threw the ham hock in a big pan of water, added about 3 celery stalks, about 3 or 4 whole carrots. I cut up an onion in half, threw that in there, and almost a whole head of garlic. I threw that in there too. And a little salt and pepper and some bay leaves. And I let that cook down for about 2 hours, and it made a very nice broth to use for whatever I wanted to use it for. I decided I wanted, of course, make some soup with it. So I strained everything out. I took out the ham hock, and I also took out the garlic and kept that aside. Everything else went to the chickens because it was just really moist and mushy. And then the broth was just wonderful and flavorful. And to make the soup, it's easy. You just take your stew pot, whatever you make your soup in, or your stews, and a little olive oil and some onion. Stir-fried that a little bit till the onion was cooked. I add the garlic to that. So I squeeze the garlic out of the skins, because you just throw it in the pot, skin and all, when you're making a broth. You don't need to take the skin off. And I squeeze the garlic in there. It already had that really nice garlic smell. Some salt and pepper. We have the onion, and then I put in the split peas. A couple cups of split peas, whatever you think. You know, I might have added actually like 3 cups. I made a lot of split pea soup because I just love it. And stirred that around a little bit and started adding stock. The stock I kept hot on the stove. So I would just ladle it in. And when I thought I needed more, I would ladle more in. And before you know it, I just had this nice, rich, wonderful split pea soup. And then I took all of the meat off of the ham hock. And I don't think it was, maybe it was lightly smoked. It wasn't a super huge smoke. But it was absolutely delicious. And made a grape soup and had it for lunch today. And it was even better than what it was Saturday when I made soup. So if you're looking for some ideas for a good hearty soup, yellow split peas. You know, maybe it'll make a difference too with the kids. Maybe they'll be more apt to eat a yellow split pea soup than a green split pea soup. I don't know. Give it a try. So that was delicious. And the poor chickens. Well, they haven't been laying eggs lately, and you know what happens then. They, at our house, we roast them or we put them in stews or we can them. So yesterday I canned, I think, 7 chickens, but not whole. And canning chicken is easier than what you might think. So if you're somebody who takes advantage of meat sales, especially chicken, or you like to buy bulk, large amounts of chicken breast, and you're tired of just throwing it in the freezer, you can always try canning some of that chicken. And I use quart jars, and I take mine off the bone. So I skinned them all yesterday and then took all of the meat off of the bone. And immediately all the bones went into 3 huge soup pots on my stove. I made a lot of chicken broth yesterday. And same as the ham hock, you just take one whole, per soup pot, one whole onion, leave the skins on it, and throw that in the pot, a couple of carrots, a couple of stalks of celery, your bay leaf, some peppercorns, some salt, and cook those chicken bones down for a couple hours, and you just get this nice, rich, thick broth. Then I leave it on the stove so that once it sets, I can skim off the fat off the top. And then I will strain it all out. I'll heat it up just a little bit again, strain it all out, and then I'll put it into Ziploc gallon bags. Sometimes I double them, or quart bags. And I'll label them, and I'll freeze them flat in the freezer. And then I can turn them up on end when they're frozen and store them that way. But I'm looking forward to having some nice broth, at least through the fall, from all of the chicken bones. So you're cooking your chicken stock down for a couple hours. And in the meantime, I've got all this nice chicken meat that I've taken off the bone, dark meat and white meat. If you want to separate it out, you can. I don't usually do that. But if you want to, you can take chicken legs and put those in a quart, and you can use the bones right in the jar. The processing time actually is the same, even sometimes less, but you can look that up on the internet. I process mine for 90 minutes with 12 pounds of pressure in a pressure canner, a pressure cooker. So use quart jars. If you want to make a nice chicken soup, a quart jar is perfect because you can open up that can of chicken and throw that into your big pot, add some more water to it, a few spices and noodles, and you've got chicken noodle soup like in minutes. It's great. Sterilize your jars like you would anytime you're canning or pressure cooking anything. And then I'll put in a few peppercorns, some red pepper flakes, a couple bay leaves, a clove of garlic, and then I add the chicken over top of that. So last night I just made sure the breasts were spread out evenly among the jars. I think I got 5 quart jars of chicken out of the 7 chickens that we butchered yesterday. And then I just added all the dark meat over the top of that. And I left about an inch and a half of headspace at the top, and then ladled some of the broth that was cooking on the stove into there as well. Made sure that all the bubble or the space, you know, there was no space, airspace between the chicken. Put your lid on it, process it in your pressure canner for 90 minutes, just like you would if you're canning salmon. Same thing. So there you go. Canning chickens. And like I said, if you're somebody who likes to buy bulk when they have sales in the meat department at the grocery stores, then by all means, think about getting out the pressure cooker or borrowing one from someone in a few quart jars. And you've got some really nice chicken to work with. I make chicken pot pies with that chicken soups, anything that you would use chicken for. If you just used chicken breasts, you just open up the jar, strain it out a little bit, and make a very nice chicken salad out of it. It's super delicious and a super concentrated chicken flavor to it. So here's a question somebody asked me today. And if you ever have a question that you want me to look up or mention on What's for Dinner, I'm happy to do that. Just email mindy@kfsk.org. Someone asked me, why do cakes fall? Why did my cake fall? And, you know, me, I'm not a big baker, but I thought I'd look this up and let you all know why cakes fall. I've had cakes fall several times, but since I have my new stove, I haven't had that problem at all. So for me, temperature was a big deal in my cake falling and my cake being in the oven too long because it was at the wrong temperature and wasn't baking as quick as it should have. But there's a number of factors as to why your cake might fall, and make sure that you're using fresh ingredients and you're measuring consistently. You might be somebody who doesn't like to use measuring instruments, but when it comes to baking and following recipes for things like cakes, you do want to have something consistent. And temperature is a major factor. When the temperature of your oven is too low or too high, then that can cause a problem with your cake and could cause it to fall. If you're having issues with your oven, then I would suggest getting an oven thermometer. And then you know if you have your oven set for 350, but actually it's only 330, that's something that you want to know so that maybe you can set your oven temperature a little higher and your cake is going to bake at the correct temperature. You also want to make sure you're cooking your cake at the recommended amount of time as well. So don't take your cake out too early and don't leave it in there too long. If you use insufficient liquid or not enough oil, that can cause your cakes to fall also. Also, an excess of sugar or flour can kind of, you know, make your batter funky and can lead to a falling cake. So make sure you're measuring properly, you're tamping down your ingredients. If the cake says to sift, if your recipe calls for sifting the flour, then you do want to sift the flour. Also, if you're over mixing your cake, it might fall. Maybe there's excess air trapped in the batter. Or maybe your cake is too dense because you've underbeaten it and you haven't beaten it enough. So that can be a problem. Also, we don't have that problem here, but cakes can fall when they're baked at an altitude. And of course, we're at sea level here, so we don't need to worry about that. But if you're a high altitude baker, that takes a little bit of trial and error when it comes to baking. So there you have it. There's my answer for why do cakes fall. And coming up next, easy recipes for using low-fat, high-fiber, and low-cost delicious canned beans. Up next on What's for Dinner. Thank you. Welcome back to What's for Dinner. I'm Mindy Anderson, and today we're going to talk about cooking with canned beans. The thing I love about canned beans is that they're cheap. You know, you really get a good deal if you buy them by the case. Even in town, you can ask to buy them by the case. You can get quite a variety in the grocery stores now. You can get organic or not organic. It's up to you. So there's lots of varieties in the bean section of the grocery stores. And there's so many things that you can do with beans. Not just chili or cowboy beans and that sort of thing. Or refried beans. But so many other recipes that you can use beans with. So I thought today I would just share some ones that I found or some that I use. This one's perfect for this season. And my favorite bean to use is cannellini beans. I love the flavor of the cannellini beans. I love that they're white. I just feel like you can use them in so many more recipes. So I would suggest branching out with your beans. If you're somebody who has just been stuck with pinto beans, you've never tried anything new, and that's why you don't eat beans, because pinto beans you think are just maybe for Mexican food or something like that, branch out and try some other beans. Cannellini beans are my favorite. This one is pumpkin with white beans and bacon, and they do have cooking pumpkins in town now. And this calls for 4 slices of bacon. You can take that out if you don't want the bacon. That's fine. 4 slices of bacon, 1 small sugar pumpkin, about 1.5 pounds. Peeled, seeded, and cut into 1.5-inch pieces. That's your major time-consuming part of this recipe here, just dealing with the pumpkin. But it's so worth it. We only get them once a year here in town, and you can get them right now. 1 cup of low-sodium chicken broth, 1 tablespoon of chopped fresh oregano leaves, some kosher salt and black pepper, 1 15.5-ounce can of cannellini beans rinsed, and 1 tablespoon of red wine vinegar. So, pretty inexpensive meal here. This will serve 4 people. And healthy and good for you. Cook the bacon over medium heat until crisp, 6 to 8 minutes. Transfer to a plate with your slotted spoon. Let it cool and break it into pieces. And then you've got the skillet. It's got some bacon drippings in it. If you didn't use the bacon, you could just use a little olive oil instead. Also, you could use some coconut oil. It would be delicious with this recipe. Add the pumpkin to the drippings in the skillet. Cook, stirring occasionally until browned, 5 to 7 minutes. Add the broth, oregano, 1/2 teaspoon of salt, 1/4 teaspoon of pepper. Cover and cook, stirring occasionally until the pumpkin is tender, 6 to 8 minutes more. Add the beans and vinegar and heat through 2 minutes. Top with the bacon. That is so simple and takes hardly any time at all. Just need to remember to cut the pumpkin into 1-inch pieces. The bigger the pieces, the longer it's going to take. And the cannellini beans are rinsed. I always rinse canned beans when I use them. But that's up to you. Most recipes call for the beans to be rinsed. So, that's a good one. If you want that recipe, you can email mindy@kfsk.org. Here's another one that's easy, and this one uses butter beans or lima beans, sort of the same bean. And a lot of times you get the smaller lima beans, and these are the bigger butter beans. This one calls for, it's sautéed polenta and butter beans. The nice thing about this is you can buy polenta already made in the grocery store. And it's usually with the Italian sauces, the tomato sauces, the roasted red peppers, and the pasta section. That's where you can find the polenta. Maybe it's been moved. I'm not sure. But this one calls for some olive oil. You need 4 teaspoons total. You need a 16-ounce tube of prepared plain polenta cut into 1/2-inch cubes. I love that prepared polenta. Sometimes you just don't have time to make it. And the polenta that you buy in the store pre-made is really good. Cut that into half-inch cubes, one clove of garlic minced, and one small onion halved and thinly sliced, one red bell pepper diced. You need a half a teaspoon of paprika, preferably the smoked paprika. I love smoked paprika. One 15-ounce can of butter beans, rinsed. 4 cups of packed baby spinach. 3/4 cup of vegetable broth. 1/2 cup of shredded Manchego or Monterey Jack cheese. And 2 teaspoons of sherry vinegar. So you're going to heat a couple teaspoons of oil in your nonstick skillet. Add the polenta and cook in a single layer until it begins to brown, about 8 to 10 minutes. Stir it a little bit. Transfer to a plate. Then reduce heat to medium. Add the remaining 2 teaspoons of oil and garlic to the pan. Cook until fragrant, about 30 seconds, and then continue adding. You're going to add onion, bell pepper. Cook until it's tender, 3 to 5 minutes. Sprinkle with the paprika, and then it'll have that nice, that smoky paprika smell. Stir for a few more minutes, or a few seconds, then stir in your beans, your spinach, your broth, until the beans are heated and the spinach is wilted. Remove from heat, stir in the cheese and vinegar, and serve the vegetables over the polenta. Healthy and delicious with the beans and the polenta and the spinach. I think that sounds delicious. And let's see, you could serve that with another vegetable. Would be good. You can serve it with, you know what sounds really good with that would be some green beans. Would be a great marriage there. And you can get smoked paprika in different varieties. You can get hot, sweet, bittersweet. But sometimes it's nice to try the hot and just, you know, a little variety here and there when it comes to paprika. Here's another recipe for butter beans. If you've always wanted to make something with butter beans but you weren't quite sure, I like just rinsing them and tossing them with a little olive oil and some salt and pepper, a little red pepper flakes, and some oregano, sometimes rosemary, and just eating them that way, adding a little tomatoes and making a butter bean sort of salad. But here's a butter bean burger. You need 1 can of butter beans drained, 1 small chopped onion, 1 tablespoon of finely chopped jalapeno pepper, 6 saltine crackers crushed. If you don't have saltines, you can try something else. 1 beaten egg, 1/2 cup of shredded cheddar cheese. White cheddar would be really good. 1/4 teaspoon of garlic powder, salt and pepper, and 1/4 cup of vegetable oil. Very inexpensive dish here. And in a medium bowl, mash your butter beans. Mix in the onion, jalapeno, crushed crackers, egg, cheese, garlic powder, salt and pepper. Shape it into patties. Divide it into 4 parts. Shape it into patties. And then you're going to fry the patties until golden for about 5 minutes on each side. And there you have it. You can put that on a bun if you want to, or you can serve it with something else. Maybe just with a salad. You can make, I've talked about this before, but you can make a bun out of a portobello mushroom. Just basically use the portobello on the bottom and grill it. Or put it in the oven a little bit and then put the burger right on top of that and maybe actually melt some cheese on top of that. And that makes a great vegetarian sort of burger. So that's using butter beans. How about chickpeas? They're so good. And when they're cooked, they're even better. This one's from Food 52, and I love that website. You should check it out, food52.com. They have products that you can purchase, cool products, like cool kitchen soaps, and the recipes are amazing. They're from people from all over. You just submit your recipe to Food 52, If they like it, they'll use it. The photos of the food are amazing. So this is a chickpea soup with saffron yogurt and garlic. And it starts off with a couple of tablespoons of olive oil. You need one large onion chopped, a yellow one, some sea salt, 3 cups of, 1.5 cans of chickpeas, basically. 1.5 cans of chickpeas. 4 cups of vegetable broth, 2 cloves of garlic finely chopped, 1/4 teaspoon of saffron thread, so 2 little modest pinches. 3 large egg yolks lightly beaten, 1 cup of plain yogurt, sweet paprika, and a small bunch of fresh cilantro chopped. So combine your, in a medium large pot, combine your olive oil and onion in a couple big pinches of salt. Cook until the onions are nice and soft, then stir in the chickpeas, and then add the vegetable broth and garlic. So now you have your nice chickpea soup happening. Bring it to a simmer and then remove it from the heat. Then in another bowl, in a medium bowl, you're going to whisk the saffron and the egg yolks and then whisk in the yogurt and slowly add some of the hot broth to the yogurt mixture to temper it. And then you're going to add all of that back into the soup once it's tempered and it's not going to just turn into eggs. Return the pot to medium and cook, stirring continuously for another 5 minutes or so, and the broth will thicken to the consistency of heavy cream. And then ladle it into individual bowls and sprinkle with a touch of paprika and plenty of chopped cilantro. That sounds perfect for this time of the year, doesn't it? And you can get saffron in town. I try to get it when I'm out of town, so I can buy like a little container of it. Just, it's a small container. But here you can get it in one container, and there's all these little tiny little containers in the one container. And it is worth it. You get several meals out of one glass jar of saffron here in town. It's got like 5 or 6 little ones in it. And that's usually enough for a good recipe. And it's a great gift for someone, too. If you're thinking of little gift ideas for someone who loves food, you can buy one of those and give out the little containers from the inside, or just give them that as a little present, and someone will find something to do with the saffron. White bean dip is easy to make with fresh herbs. It's so good. If you're somebody who likes dips and you like carrots in dip or whatever, using cannellini beans are great for that. So you need 2 cups of cannellini beans or a can, and 1 clove of garlic minced and some olive oil, some chopped fresh rosemary, chopped fresh thyme, some salt, pepper, a couple tablespoons of fresh lemon juice, and 3 tablespoons of parsley. You're going to go ahead and heat your garlic in the olive oil in a pan. Let it cook. Then add the beans, rosemary, and thyme and saute for about 4 or 5 minutes until the garlic is nice and soft and fragrant. And then just add it all to the food processor with the salt, pepper, lemon, and the remaining olive oil. And there you have it. You can pulse in the parsley at the end and then put it in a bowl and then put a little bit of olive oil over the top of it, just a drizzle. And that's a perfect thing to make for a party, and it's inexpensive. So if you're heading off to all of the potlucks that we have this fall, if you have some canned beans on hand, it's really easy to make a quick dip. And I'm going to share one more with you today. This is a chickpea, spinach, and chorizo frittata. I love frittatas, but I don't usually think about using beans in frittatas. I have used cannellini beans before in a frittata, but not that often. It's usually potato. I do, however, use chorizo. And if you want to substitute chorizo, you certainly can. Or maybe you want to use kale instead of spinach. That's fine. But this frittata is also from Food 52. And you need a small onion, a couple cloves of garlic, olive oil, one roasted red pepper. You can buy those already roasted. Some cooked chickpeas, chorizo, a teaspoon of smoked paprika, two big handfuls of spinach, and 5 eggs beaten. So chop your onion finely and your garlic. Saute it in the frying pan with a good glug of olive oil. Dice the red pepper and chorizo into chickpea-sized chunks and add it to the pan with the chickpeas and the paprika. Then saute everything together. That's exactly how I do it. Saute it all. Cook it first. And, you know, chorizo is loaded with paprika. I guess that's why I love it so much. Paprika and vinegar. Add your spinach to that and keep stirring until the spinach wilts. And everything's going to start to melt together in the pan. And you're just going to feel like you want to take that and spoon it onto some bread, actually. But add eggs and stir gently. And incorporate the eggs into the mixture and let it set over medium heat. So you can add that to a grill, or you can put it in the oven, which I do most of the time. Just stick it in the oven on 350 and let that become light gold and puffy. So there you have it. And, you know, you can get those frittata pans where you flip it, and then the frittata will be flipped over, and you have that nice caramelized kind of dome on your frittata from being flipped. But I usually just serve mine in the pan that it's in and don't flip. Just cut it into wedges and put it on a plate. So there you have it. That's a chickpea, spinach, and chorizo frittata. That sounds amazing. Maybe you'd rather use ham or something. But the chorizo with the paprika coming out of it and that little bit of vinegar taste, that's why it's so lovely. I almost didn't can the chicken last night because I thought maybe I'll make chorizo out of the chicken and put all the paprika, but I didn't. I made the call and put it in a jar instead. But you can do that. You can make your own chorizo and you can use chicken to make it. So there you have it. I hope you'll branch out a little bit. Try some canned beans. When you see them on sale, buy a whole bunch of them and then use them out of your pantry. Have them on hand when you're going somewhere and you need a quick dip or a quick meal, and branch out and try different beans, not just pinto beans or even black beans. Coming up next, we have the drink of the week. Support for What's for Dinner comes from Keto's Cave and Liquor Store, with a large selection of beers, wines, brandies, and rums. To cook with, accompany any meal or potluck, or for mixing in a new favorite drink, hosting Wednesday trivia, Thursday night open mic, and a DJ for dancing on the weekends. Keto's Cave and Liquor Store open 7 days a week. Thank you.